Doug Segrist, once again, formerly with the Nashville Banner, co-host in Birmingham on the TV show The Zone on ABC 3340. Doug, happy College Football Saturday to you, and it's always a pleasure to have you on.
Happy College Football Saturday. Good to be here.
Hey, so Alabama and Mississippi State just kicked off and won Tua Tagovailoa. He is a go. There was speculation that he might not be playing in today's game on the road against the Bulldogs. That's not the case. And look, I even pointed this out to Alabama, the fact that here's Tua Tagovailoa entering play today. He's currently seventh on the career passing touchdowns list. He needs three touchdown passes today to move into the top five. He'll be tied with Chris Leak and Tim Tebow, both of Florida, at 88. If he throws four today, he'll be tied at number four with one Peyton Manning of Tennessee with 89. The individuals ahead of him, the individuals below him, all played 4 years, and here's Tua Tagovailoa, not even two complete years yet.
Yeah, really kind of two and 2.2. But, you know, because his role is a true freshman, but he's been phenomenal. You know, there are a lot of comparisons. I think he's the best career passer at Alabama since Namath. He's been incredible when he's healthy. So today is a big test. He's actually moving pretty well. He did not look good initially in warm-ups, but he's thrown his first strike. And you know, again, the lateral presence we don't know yet, but he's moving in the pocket pretty well.
Yeah, so far for the morning, he's 2-of-2 for 41 yards. And, oh, by the way, Alabama already in the red zone less than 2 minutes into this ball game. They've got a 1st and 10 at Mississippi State's 18-yard line. Your thoughts, you know, here we are from this perspective with regards to the College Football Playoff Committee poll. 11 teams with realistic chances still to make it as far as the College Football Playoff. And I bring it up because three of the teams from the SEC, LSU, Georgia, along with Alabama.
And again, I think that's the excitement. All we hear is how, you know, things are watered down, but I think it's added another level of excitement because the games really do matter. Games in late November matter, and this is when it's really been decided the last few years. I mean, we've had number ones who have fallen completely out. You got to keep winning, and you've got to come up with big wins. And those three are in it. But I think what's exciting this year is every conference has somebody in it at this point. And that's something we really haven't seen the last couple of years. You know, the Pac-12 has a shot. The Big Ten, we assume, is in. The SEC, we assume, is in. ACC, we assume, is in. And the Big 12, again, is a factor. And to me, that's what really kind of validates this system.
This kind of reminds me.
I still think we should have eight.
This kind of reminds me of last year when we were talking and Alabama had those 11 a.m. kickoffs, and usually before I even would come to you, that already had scored. The reason I bring it up, 13:26 to go in the first quarter, play under review. Najee Harris, you know, going into this last play, three carries. For 18 yards counting this play. It looks like he's going to be just short of a 10-yard touchdown run. So it looks like Alabama will be facing a goal-to-goal situation there on the cusp of the end zone. But it should be inside the one. Actually, now they're going to rule it a touchdown. So I thought he was down. Maybe they didn't
I think they missed that one.
Yeah, because I thought he was literally down, but maybe they didn't have enough evidence to overturn it because of the camera angle. And with Najee Harris's back to the camera. So, touchdown for Alabama. They're up 6-0, waiting the extra point, 13:08 to go in the first quarter.
Yeah, they're looking good. The Big Ten on defense after getting shredded a week ago. You know, this is a game that they often struggle in, particularly on the road, because the LSU game takes such a heavy toll. And that's why, as good as LSU is, you know, I don't think it's you can assume they're just going to roll over Ole Miss today. It's a physical game. It's a game of attrition, and we'll see how both of these teams perform coming out of the gate.
I love the four matchups we get in the SEC that played their very first meeting back in the 1890s. The oldest, obviously, Georgia-Auburn, 124th meeting. That series dates back to 1892. But LSU Ole Miss, you alluded to that, 1894, the first time those two teams met. And then even Alabama and Mississippi State, along with Vanderbilt, Kentucky, their first meeting was 1896.
When you don't think of Alabama Mississippi State, it's a great rivalry, but it's the closest by proximity in the SEC. They're, you know, about 90 minutes apart. And, Mississippi State has not won very many, but when they have, it has shocked the football world. One Mississippi State win about, let's say, 11 years ago, 12 years ago, 13 years ago, kind of led to the arrival of Nick Saban.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's another historic one there back in 1980, Alabama, the two-time reigning national title champs. I had a 28-game winning streak going into Starkville, and it came to an end on a fumble at the goal line, and they lose 6-3.
Yeah, and that was a stunner that no one saw coming. And it was in the early heyday of ESPN broadcast when they showed the game on a tape delay basis, like 2 days later. And that was one of the first SEC games I remember on ESPN.
Hey, by the way, Alabama has something they can get accomplished today. You know, they have a chance, you know, certainly a disappointing loss with the loss last week to LSU, but still in regular season games, they're 52-2 in their last 54 regular season games. A win today matches a record of 53-2 that occurred from the start of 71 through the end of 1975. When they were able to put together a 53-2 record, Alabama can match that today with a win over Mississippi State.
Yeah, and again, that's very heady. That very heady territory. That is one of the two great runs by Bear Bryant. I think today they should win. I think they're just more physical. And again, one of the more underreported stories of the suspensions, Mississippi State, how they've handled them, how much it's that really devastated this team this year. A lot of heat on Joe Moorhead. I think this season was kind of messed up before it ever started.
Speaking of never starting, Mississippi State seems to have gotten off to a slow start on Mississippi State's first possession. Tommy Stevens intercepted, set up Alabama at Mississippi State's 19. Tua Tagovailoa wasted no time. Touchdown pass to Najee Harris coming out of the backfield. Alabama waiting the extra point. Up 13-0, 12:54 to go in the first. If you were looking for a hangover today from Alabama, not going to be mentally ready. Because they were only, you know, the point spread as far as from the odds in this game started falling because there was certainly some thought on the Mississippi State side of things that they could keep the game interesting. And so the actual spread actually dropped to 18.5. Well, it's already 14-0, and we're not even 3 minutes into the ball game.
It's looking like the lock of the year right now. But I think the stories out of this so far, the defense forced the turnover. Now let's see what they do, particularly against the run. Najee Harris is becoming just an absolute beast. They're now using him out of the backfield. He's always been good in open space, but he's really stepped up his game, and it started last week.
Florida, you know, look, they can't do anything about Georgia after that loss. Florida still could win the SEC East if Georgia collapses in their final game, because Georgia today, they're on the plains taking on Auburn. Next week, they host Texas A&M. So Florida, only thing Florida can do this morning is take care of business. They're up already on Missouri 3-0, 12-11 to go in the first quarter on an Evan McPherson's 47-yard field goal. And, you know, here's the Gators. You think about the fact that if they win today, they'll wrap up conference play with a 6-2 record. It's also kind of historic in the standpoint that, you know, that they have the opportunity to be playing in a New Year's Day game. You have to go back 10 years ago when they had back-to-back appearances in 08 and 09 in such games. It's new territory again for what Dan Mullen is doing with the Gators.
And here's the thing about it. I don't think they're really back yet. I think as good as they've been the last two seasons, they haven't really scratched the surface of how good they can become. He's got to pick up the recruiting, obviously, but as he gets more depth in that program, we know what he can do with average talent. And now he gets a chance to do something with exceptional talent. And, I think that's why this season is so pivotal to Georgia. I don't think Georgia's going to fall off the face of the earth. But there's really been no one challenging them in the East during Kirby Smart's tenure. Now you've got a challenge that's not going to go away.
2:30 is the SEC game on CBS this afternoon. You've got an Auburn team at number 12 in the college football playoff poll, hosting fourth-ranked Georgia. Something has to give. You know, here's a Georgia team. You know, I saw this stat from ESPN where you have to go back at least 20 seasons the last time an FBS team has gone this many games in, nine games in, and still has not allowed a rushing touchdown. And since the conference was formed back in the 1930s, only two teams went an entire year without allowing a rushing touchdown. Tennessee in 1939, Ole Miss in 1963. I say that knowing that that will probably come to an end today, knowing Auburn's ability to run the ball.
Yeah, that's the key. And I think the difference now going into this game is it's more of a two-headed attack. We don't know if Booby Whitlow will play. We don't know if he's 100%. He's made a couple. He made a cameo a couple weeks ago, but DJ Williams has kind of stepped up. They are using other backs and wide receivers in different formations. You know, that's the key for Auburn because Bo Nix has been good. He's been steady at home. He's much better passer when he's playing in front of his own crowd. But when they when they have the running game going, this is a totally different offense. And I think this is a test against the two. This is the two best SEC defenses. And if Auburn can get it going early, they've got a shot to win this game. And, you know, it just funny things happen in the series, particularly when it's played at Jordan-Hare.
Now, I know this is early and it's not an SEC game to talk about. I bring it up because Florida State still has Florida on its schedule, right? But they have to win one more game to get to bowl eligibility. I bring it up because Alabama State that, you know, fought UAB tough. Here's an Alabama State team, an FCS team from the SWAG. They're leading Florida State 3-0 early in the first. And just as I say that, James Blackman, the quarterback for Florida State, throws a 69-yard touchdown pass. So for at least for a fleeting moment, Alabama State had the 3-0 edge over Florida State.
Well, they, you know, most people around here don't know a lot about this. This is much improved SWAC program. They certainly gave UAB a really tough time. Been a little uneven this year, but they're kind of trending upwards. But to me, the difference in Florida State has been since James Blackman really emerged as the starter. They kind of had musical chairs early on. He struggled, but he's really played well the last few weeks, and it's a different offense when he's on his game.
Kentucky this afternoon, a 2:30 start time, a game on, so it's going to be on SEC Network as they take on Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, you know, look, it was a decent performance in the first half last week, only trailing Florida 14-0. Unfortunately for Vanderbilt, they could get nothing going on as far as from a offensive standpoint. Just had an awful morning. In fact, if you take away, you know, a one long drive that turned into a turnover, Vanderbilt managed nothing against the Gators. Got outscored 42-0 in the second half, en route to that 56-0 defeat. So today they're taking on a Kentucky team, certainly disappointed that they couldn't get things done against UT last week. At the goal line, with the goal line stand by the Tennessee's defense. But at 4-5, needing just two more wins, that's what Kentucky needs to get to bowl eligibility this week here in town against Vanderbilt, next week hosting Martin, and then finally the end of the month hosting Louisville. I think this Kentucky bunch will be fired up. They're not going to look at Vanderbilt, not going to look at the record. I think they'll be ready to go just thinking about what they have to do to get to bowl eligibility.
Yeah, I think Vanderbilt's success in recent years is enough to keep Kentucky focused. But I think this is a game that Vanderbilt can compete in. First of all, Kentucky's going to have to beat you on the ground. You know that going in, and that kind of plays to the Vanderbilt defense, which has been kind of a disappointment this year. Secondly, you don't need 30 points to win this game. So if Vanderbilt can just move the ball, short passing game, and use that running game, they can stay in this game. And the longer you stay in, you saw that with Missouri. they've got a chance to win this. And this is Vanderbilt program that really needs this. Derek Mason really needs it. I know the Bluebirds are out and the pressure is on, but I haven't given up on him, even if most people in Nashville have.
Hey, by the way, watching Keyshawn Vaughn, who last week had a season-low 28 rushing yards on 15 carries, he's still fourth in the SEC with 818 rushing yards. He enters play today. He's currently ninth on the career rushing yards list for Vanderbilt. He needs 34 to get to eighth position, 89 yards to get to seventh, 90 yards to get to sixth spot, and if he has an outstanding game today, if he gets 140 yards, he'll be fifth on Vanderbilt's career rushing yards list.
You know, that's something you can count on just about every year. Vanderbilt is producing great running backs, and he's the latest in the line. But I also like how they use the running backs as receivers. And, you know, that to me, that's a sign that you're using your personnel to the best advantage. I think 1,000 yards for him at this point is pretty much a foregone conclusion.
LSU, a contest tonight. They're in Oxford taking on Ole Miss. Ole Miss needs a upset win today. They need to take care of business against Mississippi State to get to bowl eligibility. LSU just rocking and rolling. They got bigger fish to fry. They're a 3-touchdown favorite. Look, I like Ole Miss to keep this interesting. I've loved the play of John Rhys Plumlee, the quarterback for Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss will have success as far as from an offensive standpoint. Can they keep up with the scoring with LSU? No, but how about the fact that if you're a fan of the Rebels, 86%+ of their offense generated by freshmen, reasons for you to be optimistic about an improving Ole Miss squad? I think Ole Miss at home tonight will keep this within striking distance to the point they're still going to lose, but I don't think it's going to be over 3 touchdowns.
I agree. Again, you know, LSU took a physical toll last week. It's an emotional letdown no matter who you're playing. I think that factors in. You've got a home field where it is party central, which LSU may feel comfortable with.
Right. Well, I don't know if they really approve of the cheese and the wine, but yeah, it'll still be a party atmosphere. Did we just lose Doug? Let's see if we can get Doug back on. Doug Seeger is joining us from Birmingham. The TV show is The Zone on ABC 3340 down there. Quickly, as we're waiting on Doug, we'll give you some updated scores. Bama still leading Mississippi State 14-0, 9:24 to go in the first. Mississippi State facing a second and goal at Alabama's 1-yard line. In Big Ten play, Nebraska on top of Wisconsin early. It's Nebraska leading Wisconsin 7-0, 5:27 to go in the first. It's Oklahoma State in the Big 12 action on top of Kansas 7-0, 9:07 to go in the first. And we mentioned earlier the Florida Gators with the early 3-0 lead on the road taking on Missouri, 10:51 remaining in the first. All right, we're joined again by Doug Segris from Birmingham. So I was saying, the LSU fan certainly knows a lot about tailgating. Not sure if the wine and cheese is their cup of tea.
A little more gumbo flavor for them. But, I think it's going to be a great crowd. You know, Ole Miss needs some turnovers. Ole Miss needs things to go its way. But what I like about this program under Matt Luke is there are very few instances where they don't come to compete. And, you know, that's probably the most consistent thing about this Ole Miss program is that they play hard. And, you know, I don't think they've got enough offensive firepower to stay in there, but if some strange things happen, this could be a close competitive game.
By the way, Mississippi State has just scored. Kylan Hill, the leading rusher in the SEC, goes over for the touchdown for Mississippi State, waiting the extra point. As Alabama leads Mississippi State 14-6, as far as that one is concerned. But, yeah, going back to an Ole Miss team, you know, on the field, I'm not going to use vacated wins or whatever the case may be, because the bottom line is back in 2014, they beat a number one ranked Alabama team. So they're 1-13 as far as going up against teams as far as on the field that are top ranked number one. And, you know, I don't think this Ole Miss team, you know, look, they played Alabama earlier this year, played them tough. I don't think this Ole Miss team is going to be, quote-unquote, intimidated by LSU tonight.
Well, they weren't intimidated by Alabama. They weren't intimidated by Auburn. Gave up a lot of yards to Auburn. but not a lot of points, and we're able to stay in the game. They've actually done pretty well in the red zone the second half of the season, and you know that's been LSU's strength. If LSU is within striking distance, they're going to score. Again, LSU's coming off that emotional win. This is a good opportunity for Ole Miss where you may catch a team that's maybe not 100% sharp. And let's be honest, it's going to be hard for LSU to be as sharp as they were last week when they did just about everything right.
By the way, the replay as far as on the review for Kylin Hill's whether or not he got in or not, it's being reviewed, and we're waiting on whether or not he got in. But it's either 14-0 or 14-6. Actually, they're saying he came up short. So it's 14-0, Mississippi State facing a third and goal at Alabama's one-yard line. Hey, Doug, as always, we appreciate you. It's always fun talking college football with you, especially now we're getting down to the stretch run. If you're not doing so already, make sure you follow Doug on Twitter, at D. Segrist, formerly with the Nashville Banner, now co-host on the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340. As always, we appreciate you taking time out with us.
Thank you, Ballpark. Have a great football Saturday.